This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is it asterisk? Nink. That's what you can have over there. So we show up at Anaheim, of course. Are we always there? Oh, it's the deepest field every year. Every year is the damn deepest field. Like, there's like more people racing, even though it's the same amount of people and the same guys, ain't nobody new in there. It's the deepest field. What I always said with Larry, I mean, dude can sell you a ketchup popsicle and white gloves. Dude makes you believe. He makes you believe. What's up, guys? You know who it is. It's your boy, JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, round 17, the last race of the year in Salt Lake City, which you saw your boy on TV.
I mean, look, it's some brotherly love, but I expect some hate tonight. I want to see these brothers get into it.
All right, look, people, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to get in. Might not be a lot of action on the race, but as a season as a whole, it's been a lot of things that happened to accumulate to get to round 17. So you know what we're going to do. We're going to get into it. And today we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to get into all the rounds, the season in the whole. So let's do it. Salt Lake City, first off, shout out to all the fans out there. They were deep. It's always a good crowd. I enjoy Salt Lake City. Some people close to me know why. Salt Lake City is a dear spot to OJS Hart. Dear spot. But nonetheless, always enjoy racing up there. Had a chance to race up there a few times. Even though in 2011, my championship came to an end when I crashed twice in the whoops. But it wasn't you guys' fault. It wasn't Salt Lake's fault. It was JS' fault. But the track's always, it's slippery. It's one of the tracks that I always feel like it's kind of deceiving, like how slippery it is. It's rocky. It's a lot of pebbles on it. It's in altitude. So you would think less power. It'd be a lot more traction. But for some reason, that dirt's hard. Unlike when you go to even a different type of hardness than Denver, Colorado, or even when you go to outside in Lakewood. The track layout is smaller. The stadium's smaller. It's different than a pro football stadium or a Georgia Dome or something like that. It's a college football stadium. And even though dimensions-wise, you know, it's 100 yards on there, they don't use all the floor, but it's just it's a tighter venue. Pretty backdrop. On top of a hill, so altitude, the dirt slippery. And of course, like usually the last few years, you know, Salt Lake has been around in one last rounds. And then when we had the pandemic, Salt Lake was like the last 7 rounds. So these guys are kind of used to coming up there and finishing off compared to when I raced, it was in Vegas. But overall, look, it was a different feeling this weekend at Salt Lake. I mean, I think there was a lot of hype going into the East-West. I think everybody kind of looked forward to the East-West shootout, you know, with both Lawrence's boys watching Danger Boy come up. And hopefully guys like Joe Shimoto and some of these other guys can get into it. But then the rain happened. Like, it was setting up to be a good performance, good racing in 250 class. The way those heat races, I mean, Levi Kitchen was dominant. Danger Boy was dangerous as hell on there. And then the rain came in and it changed everything.
Well, the rain continues to fall here at Rice-Eccles Stadium. It is not as heavy as it was just a few moments ago. And the weather is calling for chances of rain throughout the night as the humidity and the temperatures continue to escalate.
Last time I checked, that ticket said rain or shine. So, of course, these fans are staying here.
So I felt like the rain kind of killed the 250 class on how good the action possibly would be. The 450 class was, look, Chase Sexton, deservedly so. I think we're all in shock what's happened the last 3 weeks with Cooper Webb and then Eli Tomac, and then just from 21 points down to wrapping up championship literally a week early coming to this. So we kind of knew where that was going to go. And it was just a weird feeling, a feeling of, I don't even know how to explain it. Even in the air, the crowd, they were happy to be there, but there was really no excitement to go. And I think the rain maybe put a little bit damper on that 250 class. So nonetheless, what happened? Chase won. Not surprising. Chase was winning the championship. Definitely not surprising because he came in there already winning it. But I think everybody was looking forward to just getting it over with, getting out there safe, which my German chocolate, I actually had him pick for a race win because he looked good all day. Track setup, even when it rained, I thought it was going to be pretty good. And even he had a hard time getting out of there unscathed. I'm not sure what the injury is, but it was fun to see Ken. He only needed 1 point. He only needed 1 point. Like Eli only needed one race. He only needed 1 point and he still couldn't get it. But we were there. We got to talk about it. There's no surprise. Jet won. Chase won. Congratulations to the Honda. They dominated all three championships. But you know what we do here? We got to dive deeper. And even though there's not a lot to dive in from that race, we're going to dive in from the whole season and just kind of figure out what we learned. We're here at round 17. What have we learned? So let's try to break that part down.
Thought tonight?
Well, I'm a championship guy, and I just go to the fact that this is where it starts right here. You can't win the championship at the first round, but you can certainly put yourself in the rear. So I think you come out here, just stack chips, get as many points as you can. Don't override it.
So coming into the season, it was a lot up in the air. Like the way the outdoors ended, I think all of us suspected we wouldn't have been shocked to watch Chase Sexton do what he did, win the title. Wouldn't have been shocked. You know, coming into the season, I thought like the way he ended outdoors, like, hey, he got through that thing. He was right there the last race, battling with the champ. He's next, right? He's the next guy coming into it. So I would say Chase Sexton's probably a better Supercross rider than outdoors. He took Eli all the way to the brink. And he had one moto that cost him the championship in outdoors. They were finished 1-2. Chase got him run. Eli did what he had to do to get a win. So coming into the season, you had to think that Chase Sexton was looking forward to getting the Supercross season going, getting in there, carry that momentum. So we show up at Anaheim, of course. Are we always there? Oh, it's deepest field every year. Every year is the damn deepest field. Like there's like more people racing, even though it's the same amount of people and the same guys, ain't nobody new in there. It's the deepest field. And then you have Ferrandis coming in. Like he had the defending champion outdoors. He didn't race, coming back in here, but he's a Supercross rider, 2-time Supercross Light Sky, our Adam Cincerella. Eli Tomac decided to stick around. Like, would he be? They got a new bike. And Chase Sexton, Colt 45, a lot of guys coming into the season that you're just waiting for them to step up. But I think we all thought Chase Sexton was going to be the guy. We show up at Anaheim, Chase is fastest. And even my brother, you know, Malcolm, second year on the Husqvarna. So we were excited going into that. Anaheim one comes around, Eli's out front. I saw practice videos. I'm like, damn, Eli looked pretty good like he did last year. Eli in practice, Eli in the heat race. Eli basically falls down in the main event. And then Malcolm's out front and then Chase is out front. But Eli just passes them all and looked more dominant in the first race than he even did last year. And it looked easier. So we're like, okay, wait a minute. Was that the first race? Whatnot. And even Cooper Webb. We didn't really have him coming back in. We knew he was going to be better. Most people didn't have Cooper Webb coming back in. I had a chance to see Cooper Webb, and I knew he was riding better. But, of course, like when you have an off year like last year, it just takes a lot to get back. So was Cooper going to be back to that form? I don't know. Like, we'll see. Cooper shows up, comes from the back of the pack, gets second place. Boom, there we go. All right, maybe that's first race. Chase, look, he should have won. He didn't win. He was it. Going to the second race. Champ did it again, looking better than I ever thought. Cooper Webb, whoa, where did this come from? That second place last weekend, it was real. So right there, we had the last two champions just show up, and they look, I mean, better than everybody else. And I think it was after the second race, I was looking how Eli was riding, looking at his bike, and I'm like, you know what? I actually feel like these first two tracks might be set up to Eli. Like looking down how quickly the Yamaha, because when we watched at Anaheim 1 and even in practice, what I noticed with Eli was how nimble the bike was. You know, he was almost jumping the thing as a BMX. It was different than last year. Last year, it just looked like the bike was stable. Well, this year, it looked like he could turn it and, you know, just flicking around and just look comfortable on it. Well, the way that first track was in Anaheim 1, it was set up that way with the ruts. And, of course, when you're watching that, you're not really thinking about that. And then the second race with all those 90s and switchbacks, it made sense why he looked as good as he was, because the bike was set up for that. So I mentioned that Chase was still hitting the ground. Malcolm hit the ground. So I'm like kind of confused. Chase Sexton went through all this outdoor season and didn't make this many mistakes. And then he shows up at the first two races where the pressure's on him. He's supposed to be the guy, and he's falling over. He's doing the same thing that he was doing like previous. So with San Diego, you know, you had Eli. The bike set up, he looked just as good. And I almost feel like it was different. It was different than last year. It was different. Like, he just looked more at ease. It just kind of like, whatever. I think last year, going to Star Racing, I think there was a little bit of pressure on him to succeed. And the bike was different. It looked different. And I almost felt like those first two races, Eli looked more comfortable and better. And I started breaking it down. Hey, look, the bike works pretty good in those switchbacks. It was good to see Cooper Webb. And I already knew once that second place happened in Anaheim, he was going to be back. And it showed again at San Diego. And I know Cooper, he was still lacking the same thing that he's always had, the speed. But he was mentally tough. So I knew those guys just allowing him to be up there, he was going to be in it for the championship hunt, because he really doesn't get hurt, right? He doesn't get hurt. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Same thing with Eli. Once they kind of get rolling and the way Eli looked, they don't make mistakes, right? They don't make mistakes. You ain't going to see Eli hit the ground. He went through the outdoors, and every time he had to do it, he just did it. And then you had Mookie Fever. Malcolm was coming in, and that heat race that he had at San Diego, it was the first time I seen Malcolm, like, go past those guys, because I watched him at Anaheim, and the fact that he was leading was not surprising. The fact that he ended up going down the lead, like, was not surprising as well, because I just know that pressure of like trying to get to that point, he was still like growing and getting there. He had the speed. But I was pumped to watch Malcolm, because he was leading that race and it looked like he was super tight, look, you know, uncomfortable, but he was actually pulling away from those guys, you know, and I could tell as a racer, he wasn't in the zone. But damn, he showed up in that heat race and he just owned those guys. So I was excited to watch him progress as well, because I think that heat race was going to change his whole season. Like, he was starting to trend in the right direction, because one, he didn't get second place. He wanted to win on there. And he actually felt like he believed he could win. And he went out and did it. He got past German Chocolate. And I was excited to see that. Then he goes down in the main event. But looking forward to Anaheim 3, you got two-time champions up there, 1 and 2. What is Chase doing? Like, is this the way things going to be? Is he going to keep hitting the ground? I look at it like, he was quiet all off season. Everybody said he was good. And usually when guys are quiet, you just one or two things. Either they hurt or they feeling good. Well, knowing a little insight, I knew Chase was feeling good. So look, first two races, his standard, he sucked, right? He sucked. He didn't finish off the podium at all, outdoors pretty much. And he comes in there and boom. But it's the first two races, Triple Crown. And I felt like the Triple Crown, it was Chase Sexton moment, because at that point, my brother was hurt. It was Chase Sexton's moment to either show up or basically his season is going to be written off, because it is a Triple Crown. He is known to speed. And I feel like he's allowing Cooper Webb to get into this and Eli Tomac to just keep continue the season the way it was. What is Chase going to do? Well, Chase comes out and wins, right? But then it was like the Chase Sexton deal. Like, he would win, fall, and then win again. So the Triple Crown, you're like, okay, he won. And I know it's going to help himself, but like, what is it really going to do? Like, is that really anything going to change? And the bigger factor, it was like, what the hell is, what happened to Eli? Eli was feeling his lung. Like, Eli got like hyped. Like, he was like, damn, I just waxed these dudes first two races pretty easy. Pretty easy. I opened up another diaper factory. Pretty easy. That's what I just do. And then he got a little cocky and Eli hit that ground and it woke him up. And Eli was like, as much as I think like I'm invincible, because I was pretty damn invincible, something about this bike I ain't really feeling. And we didn't know that this was going to end up transpiring the way it did at the end of the year. But I think that crash in that third moto kind of woke Eli up a bit. It was like, all right, that's not the way to win. And the fact that Cooper Webb kind of started where he started and finished where he started, and Chase, who was way faster than everybody else. But then he still fell. So there were still cracks in those guys' armor. So I think Eli was like, look, I can, like, I'm fast enough most nights. He knew what was up with that bike. I mean, he's been riding all off season. He knew those things. And I think he tested that water, found that water, was poison water. And he didn't want nothing to do with that at Anaheim in that third moto. And he decided from that point that he was not going to do that again. He was going to be here to be in it, to win it at the whole season, because he knew nothing's changed with these guys. Chase Sexton's still fast. Chase Sexton's still going to hit the ground. Cooper Webb is still Cooper Webb, but I still got speed on him. So Eli, at that point, I believe, decided he wasn't going to override the bike, and he never did the rest of the year. So we get through the first three races. We get to Houston. And just follow me, people. We ain't going to break it down all the way, but follow me. Houston was a big moment in this championship. Why was it a big moment? Because Chase Sexton did what we all thought he was going to do, right? He showed up, and he was way faster than everyone. Like, way faster. Hold on. You want me to show how fast he was? Here's Chase. Here's everybody else. And there was Eli. That was the difference. And the reason I paused for a long time, because on a super S track, a half second is a lot. A second, are you kidding me? Second and a half, come on, the race is over. 2 seconds, that was Chase Sexton. On a track, that was like everybody was jumping the same thing. So it was like, okay, did something finally click? Like, last weekend, he won on speed, but nobody's like been that fast since G7 a long time ago, that fast. Chase was way faster. We get through the main heat race. Chase just dominates Eli. Eli couldn't do nothing about it. Nothing about it. And the fact that Eli just hit the ground, I already know what he was going to do. He was not going no faster, because he knew, like, look, I'll go fast. I'm going to give these guys a big points gap. You know what? I'm just going to be here and just see what happens when the race. I'm still a racer. And the reason I say that race was a big moment in Houston was because Chase was 2 seconds faster, and Chase got beat in the main event. Straight up and down. Couldn't do nothing. And I believe that changed everything, not only for Chase, but for Eli and guys like Cooper Webb. And I thought for guys like Jason Anderson, because what it showed was Chase, no matter how good he is, when it counts, like, we still can get him. We still can get him. And that's how they race all the way up until round 15. And when Cooper Webb goes round 16. But we ain't there yet. So Chase gets, and you can see, all right, damn, what just happened? I didn't fall. I was way faster, and this guy just straight up beat me. And Eli sensed that. So we go to the next race. Next thing you know, Chase is out front hitting the ground.
Sexton is down. Oh. Sexton has dropped it from the lead. Oh, my goodness.
James, now this is the same mistakes this guy has made over and over and over, and you know better. And if you want to be in Supercross champion, you cannot continue to make, to your point, same mistakes over and over and over. You just wonder what is going through your head.
Dude, and it's killing his confidence.
All right, like, Chase out front, hitting the ground. Like, all right, and Weir falls, and Eli's just capitalizing. And I think it was just making the season where Eli was just like, look, I'm going to get a fifth place. I'm going to get an eighth place, because every time I override this bike, there's a weakness that I feel. JS sees it. You know, we all kind of see that. And I know what it is, that every time I ride that, like, I'm probably going to hit the ground. Well, I'm watching Chase hit the ground, and I know, like, as pesky as Cooper is, like, damn, I still can get him. So I'm just not going to do it. And that's when we get to Tampa, that fifth place comes in there. And then we get an eighth place in there at Indianapolis. So those were cool, but those also show the person that it actually helped more was not Chase Sexton. It actually helped Cooper Webb more than anybody else. And we haven't spoken about Cooper. Why did it help Cooper? Because, one, he was gaining heaps of talent. And if you're not, let's say you're not the fastest on guys, like, you got to attack them in other spots. And although I say, like, Eli's not the guy that you line up next to on the gate and you think you're going to attack him that way, he ain't that type. Like, because that eighth place, the reason he gets that, because he ain't going to be, like, you ain't going to be able to get him on the gate. Like, he ain't that type where I feel like, bang, 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 you can shoot some other guys and they'd be affected. So it helped Cooper because he saw that, look, when if the tracks are slippery, there's things outside of even me that Eli won't, like, he won't like he'll adjust himself too. And that's why I feel like it helps him more than Chase Sexton, because Chase Sexton at that point was having his own demons. Chase Sexton was faster than everybody else. Chase Sexton started falling and he didn't know why he was falling. And it was out front, no matter how big a lead he got, no matter where he was, whether he was in Florida, whether he was in California, Chase Sexton at one point thought he was going to hit the ground no matter where he was, out front, back, and he was doing that. So, look, I got to worry about fixing that. I'm going to fix that. Cooper Webb's like, look, Eli ain't going to do that. That means, like, and I don't feel like I'm faster than Chase or Eli, and maybe some of these guys. So what else I'm going to get to have these points where he saw what Eli was doing? And I feel like with Cooper Webb, you know, the speed's been lacking. And, you know, I would say, like, he had to, like, he was racing Chase, but Chase was also fighting his own self. So we get to Seattle, and after Cooper shot him in the heat race,
Cooper Webb takes a look over his shoulder. And was that a Dikembe Mutombo finger wag?
I don't know. That's pretty bold.
It was odd because it's almost like you picking on a kid that don't want to fight you anyway. You know, so you're like, damn, why you shoot him? But for Cooper, mindset, you got to remember how he acts, like how he is. You know, he's all about, like, he's the mental guy, right? Like, you know, you give him confidence and he feeds. That's his speed. Like, the more confidence you give him, speed. So I think when he shot Chase, it wasn't necessarily like at Chase. Like, he didn't mean no disrespect, but he needed to shoot Chase so he felt better. Like, he had to shoot that hostage so everybody else thought he was serious. So I feel like when he shot Chase at that race, it wasn't towards Chase or letting Chase know, like, I'm worried about you. I think it was directed towards Eli. Like, the fact that, like, Eli really couldn't beat Chase in heat races. And at that point, like, Cooper was trying to find speed. So any little thing, like, whether it's a pole lap in practice, and I know this, you could tell by guy riding, like, Cooper was emphasizing on going faster because they felt like that was his weakness. So whether he can get a pole in practice or he can get a pole or beat somebody in the heat race, like the fact that he was able to do that in Seattle wasn't a directed towards Chase at that point. It was directed towards Eli. And you fast forward to the following week when he lines up next to Eli in there. I think that's where the shooting to that, Cooper was trying to get in ahead. And the reason I bring that up is because years past, I would say that worked. That worked on guys like, you know, Ken Roczen. And whether it was because what Cooper did to him or because Ken had his issues or sicknesses, whatever was going on, it worked, right? And I believe he did that to Eli at some point. But look, if you don't have something and you know, like, look, by doing this might affect this guy to bring him down to my level, then I'm going to do it. And I think that's why he did it. So I would say the shooting, even though he shot Chase, he was actually aiming for Eli on there. And like I said, it didn't work. He lines up next to Eli. It didn't work. It backfired. And at that point, it almost looked like it was a panic. That's when he started changing out the forks and he was trying to switch things out. And that was the first time that we saw Cooper really, like, ever, when he's had a championship, like, we found out that information. Like, it was like, oh, wait, this guy's changing things. And I feel like it was because once he shot Chase, and Chase was still going to fall the way Chase is going to fall, and he really wasn't directing it towards him, because otherwise that was a win, right? Like, the reason Chase fell, because I shot him. He's wounded. He did that to Eli. And Eli still went out there and whooped that ass, and it didn't matter. And it backfired on him. He lost more points. And then you're like, okay, that doesn't work. So now I really got to figure out a way to go faster. I got to try to change my bike. And I said on the show that I didn't feel like it was a panic. I just felt like when you realize this ain't going to work, then it's on you and you guys got to figure it out. Like, KTM knew that they still needed to figure out things to make Cooper happy. And so maybe if he lined up next to Eli and things would have transpired, maybe he wouldn't have went to those forks. Cause he'd be like, okay, I can do it this way. When he realized he can't do it that way, he's got to do it the other way. And he tried to find some speed somewhere else. So, but I feel like the season was starting to get down to Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac. And the reason I was saying, even though Chase was right there, it was between those two, because I didn't feel like at any point that Chase actually figured out what Chase was trying to figure out. I don't think he figured out, like, why am I falling on that? Like, I don't think he sensed that when the pressure gets on me, like, how do I ride? Well, we can fast forward to New Jersey after he just won Atlanta. And I felt like he had the worst practice day of his life. You know, he was outside the top five, really, all day in practice. And it was the sense of like, okay, if I can win these next four races, and I will be your champion. Well, he shows up the next race, and he's just all out of sorts. Rode better in the heat race, but then the main event, he got bam, bam. But that was that. So I still feel like all the way up until maybe even today, does he really feel like he fixed that? And that's Chase Sexton.
Yeah, and Ricky.
Oh, no! He's down! How quickly can it be up? He was 5 seconds. There's Tomac.
So we get to a point to where after Oakland, Chase Sexton hits the ground again. And at Houston, it was a different one. Like, I feel like if he was able to win Houston, the way he was so much faster, I don't know if he would have failed like as many times. Like, well, he probably would have failed because we broke down the technique and stuff. But I just don't think there would have been as much pressure on him to like have some kind of performance, right? Like if you're way faster than somebody and that guy just beats you straight up, then every time like you're out front until you actually do it, you win the main event. You just never, like it's never over. No matter how many times you're 2 seconds faster than the guy in the heat race, no matter how many times you beat him in the heat race, until you beat him in the main event, it's not over. And at that point, Chase wasn't falling out front. So we didn't even get to that. And then you get to the Tampa race and then the Oakland race where he's hitting the ground. And then it changes momentum. And I feel like that kind of changed at Houston at round three. So then at that point, you start seeing Chase, he was riding different. Like we get to Arlington and it's that Triple Crown. And this is where I knew stuff was different, because if you look how Chase rode at the Anaheim, he had speed. He was faster than everybody. Well, Arlington, I don't think he was necessarily fastest. It looked like he was just trying to almost take like Eli's approach. And then when he tried to go fast, he ended up watching for the tire going at front end, going into the corner right before the tunnel jump. And then you're like, okay, here we go again. Like, all right, there it is. He has a chance. If he beats Eli, he's going to win this thing. He beats Cooper because they were all within like 1 point. So it was kind of like whoever beat each other was going to win. And then what happens? You let that little pesky little Cooper Webb comes up and he gets that victory. And it changed his deal because one, he's not as good on Triple Crown. Why? Because it's a speed game. It's a speed game. Even though like I almost feel like the Triple Crown, like that third race plays into Cooper's favor, because boy, they're getting tired out there. A lot of races, a lot of laps, especially on these short lap times. But it was just a mental battle. And one of the biggest mental things, we saw what happened to Eli. Eli lands off that bridge. Eli slides out. And Eli disappears. Like, he just has a fourth and a sixth. And even though he fell, we were always like, all right, there's something up. And then you just keep fast forward. And you saw what was transpiring with Eli. And then we get to the middle part of the season.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Chase is trying to stay up. Chase trying to figure this thing out. You know, Chase is like, look, I got enough speed in the bank that I just need to stay up. And then we get to Daytona. Chase is like, he's good. And then he's looking at the ant on this thing. And then he just almost gets landed on. And then he takes out Barcia. But the biggest thing was, is like at that point, you saw Cooper Webb. He was building that momentum up from winning that Arlington race and then also winning Tampa. He's feeling good. And then Eli is dominant. We just had like an off performance last weekend at Dallas. Look, Daytona, this is my house. And I knew from practice, something was up with this dude. Something was up. The way he was in between those rhythm sections, like the bike, he was shy. He was a little shy. We saw it first happen in Oakland. At Oakland, he was in practice. He was struggling. And he won the main event at Oakland. But you also remember, like, Chase was gone. Chase was gone. And he slid out. He almost got caught by Cooper at the end of the race. But, okay, whatever. And then Tampa. That was just a strange fifth place for Eli. And my point is, he was starting to have some of these moments that, like, was chips in his chinks in his armor that you didn't see at all last year, where he just kind of disappears. So, you know, coming to Daytona, look, it's beast mode time. It's beast mode. And so watching him in practice and then even the heat race, like, you're like, ah, dude, there's a bigger picture. And even though he got it and you saw how happy he was on the end of that, Cooper ran him tough. Like, Cooper was there, and that race slowed down because of rain and actually helped out Eli, and Eli won. And then Eli even said it. He was like, that was a big thing for me. I feel like he kept his title hopes alive, because if you'd have got beat by there and he would allow Cooper to win that race. And just like what I say, what would have happened if Chase Elliott would have won Houston, if he'd have went ahead and won Houston, how differently this season would have ended. Well, it kind of ends in his favor, so I don't know how much it would have ended, but I believe it changed a lot of things on how everybody looked at Chase. It changed on how Eli approached this race, and it also gave Cooper Webb confidence. So all these things was building to where it wasn't even about speed at this point. It was about each one of these riders being able to figure out what they needed to do, which was going to change the way the other rider rode. And Eli did what he had to do when he had to do it. He did it at Daytona, and he stopped that. Gave Webb some confidence, but you know what? Damn, this guy's still here. And so we fast forward, and then you have the German Chocolate. He's starting to come in there, all right? Like, we saw him in the beginning part. He was kicking his bike, and he was still kicking it. Damn, he was still kicking it, but he was there fighting. And I feel like the reason why Kenny kept getting better is because Kenny made that decision. That was Kenny's choice. He wanted to ride the Suzuki. And his team, they kept fighting. And I believe, even though he was starting to have some of the same things that had happened at Honda. In fact, earlier last year, he won the first race. Dominant, right? And he didn't even make it. He was jumping by like the third Anaheim. So, but Kenny knew he made that choice. So Kenny was going to be in it deeper than it years past, because one, he made a change. And two, he saw his team fighting. And he had Larry Brooks. And what I always said with Larry, I mean, dude can sell you a ketchup popsicle and white gloves. Dude makes you believe. He makes you believe. And I feel like, to his credit and that whole team's credit, they had Kenny kept fighting for where I think in years past, the same thing was starting to transpire in the middle part of the year for Kenny. But he kept fighting, and he got him a victory at Indianapolis. That same victory where Chase went flying W in Indianapolis, which changed the way Eli rode in Indianapolis. Eli was coming up because he said, damn, Chase is out front. I'm struggling. I know I just won Daytona. But then he saw Chase on the side of the track. And then Cooper Webb was like, all right, I'm going to go beat him. But damn, Chase is on the side of the track. All right, I'm going to get the second point. Eli decided, look, I'm just going to hang back here and get like eighth or whatever. So all these things, everybody was being dictated off everybody. But Chase was still having his issues. So we keep fast-forwarding people, fast-forwarding through the season. This happened, that happened, German Chocolate. And guys like Bam Bam coming in there. And I feel like Justin was riding good all year long. Like, Justin was just as fast as he was, like, at Anaheim when he was scrubbing his ass off the track, to where he was when he almost got German Chocolate at Indy. And he finally got him one in the mud race. But Justin was riding good. So you knew at some point, he was going to be in contention. And El Hombre, at that point, I didn't know he had a seed in there with Cynthia. She was coming to be born. What's her name again?
Siggy.
Sorry, Jason. No disrespect. He was having Siggy come in there. So, like, there was, we were like, what's going on with El Hombre? He went from like 7 races last year to no races this year. And we're like, he's got to come. And the way he had that performance back in Dallas, like, we just outran these guys just straight up with the scene a year later from the scene in the crowd where him and Malcolm got into it. Like, you're like, damn, all right, he should be able to do it, but it just never came. So, even though those three guys were battling, you still felt like there was other guys coming up, you know, with Justin, the Chocolate, and El Hombre. And let's fast forward to where it really got down. We get down to Nashville. Nashville, where I'm going to say again, there's some pretty people in Nashville. Y'all some pretty people. And we're like, okay, look, Cooper switching suspension. He's going from the 20 JS to the 22, 23 JS. Who knows, skinny fat boy. And so, all right, here we go. He didn't have the best race in New Jersey. Eli just straight up did what he had to do after Eli blew his hand off, and he just bottomed out, and he still hit that ground. He's just like, okay, here we go. I know Chase won a race, but, you know, Chase still that far point. Last time I saw him, he was cheating. He was jumping on red cross flags, so whatever. And I feel like when you watch those guys race, even though Chase was close, three races ago, Chase wasn't thinking about this title. Chase wasn't worried about that. Chase was still trying to figure out how to, like, get that speed. Because if you remember, just like Indianapolis, where he does a flying W, and Oakland and Tampa, Chase had another one in Seattle where he's out front and he essentially crashes going down the straightaway. So when you think about all this going on, like, Chase still was having these moments where, yeah, he would win a race and he would still be fast, but he was still hitting the ground. And so when he won Atlanta, you could tell it was a big relief for him. I feel like the relief actually came at the race prior when he went that triple crown. Even though he didn't win it, he stayed up and he was just like there and he almost won it. So when I look at Chase, Chase wasn't racing to win races. Chase was trying to win a race to build that confidence. And he knew if he stayed up, there was a good chance he was going to win the race. Well, he won at Atlanta and then he came back and he was like, okay, all right, that's a step. Then we had the New Jersey and I had an off day. I got knocked down by Barcia, but I didn't crash again. I ended up fourth place. And then he comes to the next race at Nashville, where all hell breaks loose. But still at Nashville, Chase was still pumped on what Chase was doing. And I said before, he needed to actually figure out that part, even just building into outdoors before he was like, look, I'm going to start racing and try to win this championship. Because he had two people to deal with up until Nashville. He had to deal with Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac. There ain't no way those guys going to get hurt, right? Like, there ain't no way. Because years past, they don't really get hurt. You know, Eli's always going to be there. He might get an eighth place every once in a while. And Cooper Webb might get like a fourth because he's slow. But you know what? They going to be here. And Chase knew, look, I need to win these races. And if I just win all four of these races, then I'll be your champion. But he didn't feel like he can do that. Like, he didn't feel like that. So there's two people you have to go around. Bam! That was Cooper's head getting smacked by AC. And AC was like, ah! I think part of the tears when AC got on that third place was to realize he almost decapitated Cooper Webb's head off that. And Cooper was trying to get up. And he couldn't get up. And I'm only saying that because I know he's okay. He's okay. And we were like, what just happened? Like, whoa, what just happened? All right, how is that going to change everything? Is Eli going to go and just go completely, like, disappear, like, whatever? Nah, Eli has, like, the best three laps of his career, basically, the way he shows up and hole shots that first race. And at that point, I think it sent the message to Chase that Eli, look, no matter who's here, Cooper Webb, you think you might have a chance at getting me? Nah, bruh, I'm going to come out here and just go dominant. And, yeah, you can come up. I ain't worried about you. The reason I ain't worried about you, because I'm still going to go in this corner and I'm still going to allow you to possibly take me out. And I know your ass ain't going to take me out because you ain't worried about me just like I ain't worried about you. And I'm going to finish this thing out. Chase goes and wins that race. I think it was big for him. And it was bigger for him because I felt like it was leading to outdoors. All right. Like, he was going to be a bigger shot. Then we go to Denver. Hey, same thing is going to happen. Eli looked pretty good all day. Chase passed in the heat race, but whatever. Eli stays there. Eli goes as fast as he needs to go. Hometown crowd. Well, what are we going to do? Eli hole shots. Chase back in like six. Eli's going away. You know what? He don't fall. Nothing happens to him. Let's pay attention to the battle. Smack! I don't even know what that sounds like, but I'm just assuming that sounds like an Achilles popping or pop, crackle, pop. And next thing you know, they're like, ah, you hear the crowd, ah. And then we're all like, what? What? Chase looking again. And I know Aaron Plessinger did the flying W and he was like, damn, that's what that feels like. But he was looking like, what? What just happened? So Chase Sexton goes on there. And like I said, I broke it down. If you want to hear how I broke that down, go back to last weekend. We ain't got time this weekend. And then we're like, okay, dude, Chase wins that race. And essentially, when she popped that Achilles in the way Eli was, like, he was kind of like champion. He's pretty much champion. And before anyone can say, look, they should have crowned him a championship. Well, technically, let's say this would have happened at Salt Lake. you know, Chase did get 7 points taken away from him. Let's say Chase jumped a couple times on the cross flags. Like, they took away 10 points away from him, and he didn't finish the race at Salt Lake City. Minus 10 points, then hell, Eli could have been a champion. So there's a possibility that he could have took some points away from him and Chase doesn't finish the race, and that Eli would have been a champion even though his ass is at home. That could have happened, but it didn't. So it was just from that moment when Eli was rolling on the side of the track, things have not been correct. And my whole story, people, we're here at this point. And what did we learn this year? We learned, one, it ain't over until it's over. We learned, look, dudes ain't even got to crash to actually get, like, knocked out of the race. We learned, damn, this is the first time I've ever seen somebody, like, really popping Achilles in that. Like, we learned, look, is that the last time we're ever going to see Eli Tomac ever again? Like, he got JS ass, and he got me by 1 point, which I don't even know how I feel about that. Like, he was so damn dominant, and, like, it just happened, and it was, like, over. Have we learned, is Chase Sexton fixed? Do we feel like going into the outdoors, is Chase Sexton, like, he won this title? Deservedly so. Not even question that. But do we feel like Chase Sexton's fixed? Like, does he feel like, look, the way we thought he was going to show up and show out this Supercross season, and the fact that a lot of us picked him to win the title, which if we did, we'd have been right. But we went through 16 races, people. 16 races. And I would say we were still, like, questioning, like, has this guy figured it out? Like, has he figured it out? Yeah, he figured it out the last few races. But you can also say, like, when you're not racing for a championship, like, it's a lot easier. And the reason I say that is because, hell, I was there. Like, I know that is. And it's just a different one. And you could tell with Chase, like, when even when he won the race and he was winning those races, like, there's a difference. And I said it before, there's a difference from a guy attacking, like, for a title, winning, like, hopes to win a championship, from a guy trying to fight inner demons and, like, winning his own mental championship. And I feel like when Chase won that race at Atlanta, and even the other ones, like, he had battles. That was his title, because he knew he had to get through that before he can even get to this. And he never thought that, you know, Cooper Webb was almost going to get decapitated and Eli was going to pop an Achilles, which I'm still tripping on. Like, I've never really seen that before, but it all makes sense. If you want to know how it makes sense, go back to last weekend, because we ain't got time this weekend. We didn't feel like that was going to happen. And so all this stuff transpired and it happened so quick that it almost made like this season just ended. So what did we learn, people? What did we learn? Well, we learned one thing, and I'm going to have to say it again. And I believe this is probably his most special, biggest one of the year. We learned that Chase Sexton was upset that Eli was getting looking like JS7. Eli was getting all these damn neck burns on there, and Chase wanted some neck burns on there. We learned that Chase was like, you know how many points that I was like, how many times I was winning and I wasn't winning. I was tired of hitting that ground. And then everybody was saying, like, damn, you have to figure it out. And I got a neck burn. And then he was waiting for us to say, like, there it is again. He was going to hit the ground. But what things we did learn, and I know for a fact, is Chase Sexton is your 2023 AMA 450 champion. And he is your champion of champions, and he won Salt Lake. What did he get for him, Colton?
Suntan, next on fire.
Suntan, next on fire, Chase. It was a little chilly up there. You deserve it, kid. That's the one thing we did learn, and there's no reason, like, you can't even dispute that. That was facts, like math. That's analytics, whatever you want. Chase got more points than everybody else. Facts. Chase got more race wins than everybody else. That's not facts. Eli had that one, but at the end of the day, Chase won. He led more laps. He has more faster poles. And he was there longer than anybody else was there. And he survived. And he survived. And he is your champion, people. And there ain't really nothing left to say about that. There is nothing left to say about that besides Chase Sexton. You are the champion. And congratulations, kid. Now you get to go up against Honda's future. From what Lars said, which it is Honda's future. You get to go up against Lawrence. And that, people, I'm excited for. I'm not even excited about the racing. No. Don't even care about that. Why? Because I believe what's going to happen in the truck and how those two people are going to happen up here is going to dictate what happens out there. So I'm excited to see that battle, because when you got the next up-and-comer, and I felt a little tension a little bit with Villopoto when I was riding on Kawasaki, like that tension of this guy's coming in here to replace my ass. I went out and won all 24 of them things, and then I still got fired. So Chase Sexton, I know you don't want to see that come up there. And I know Jet Lawrence, how he rides in the future. He already got his plans and he already got his number one plate picked out to wax you. And he's planning on waxing you next weekend. And both of y'all are good at Paula. Y'all have always won there. Chase, you've been dominant. Jet's been dominant. And people, we are in for a treat. And yes, yours truly will be there calling it with you. So people, what did we learn? We learned that it ain't over until it's over. And Chase Sexton is your champion. But that was last weekend. And we got the future going. And we learned that the motocross season is about to start. And we're going to learn a lot of different things. So Chase Sexton, enjoy it, man. You deserve it, kid. Jet Lawrence, it's a pleasure watching you watch that. Lights, race to his cats. You tried to give RJ the business, and it was smooth, sneakiness. Even RJ was like, damn, I think he's trying to get me. And he came in there. But Jet Lawrence, hell of a 250 career, east, west. One shootout, you outdid your brother. But you know what time it is. You about to go up against the defending champ of the 2023 Supercross season and the guy that you're going to replace possibly next year, but you are the future. So does the future start in 2 weeks or the future starts next year? Who knows? We're going to find out. And that's what questions we got to ask. And hopefully we get an answer. But until then, you know what we got to do. Stews and stews. We'll be right back, people.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. As you guys know, Athletic Greens is a proud partner of our show. They've been a sponsor of this for a while. It's a nutritional drink that supports the immune system. With 75 high-quality ingredients, that gives me the key to daily nutrients and long-term gut health. They have good travel packs that I take with me on the road, and I took it this weekend, which I needed, which gives me energy and helps my immune system because I'm flying all over the place, can get sick a lot. AG1 helped me with that, and it's only $3 a day, so it's a good deal if you ask me. If a solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a one-year supply of free vitamin D and 5 travel packs. So make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Did you hear me? athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Go check it out, peeps. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. I know it's going to be Mr. Chase Sexton, number 23, a.k.a. 1 for next year. Favorite times, Oakley's, Stude. I'm possibly confused. All right, people, you know what we do. There ain't no default in this because the guy won the race as well. So I almost feel like maybe we should give him a double stew or a third degree stew. He's just going to get a stupendous stew. Why is he going to get that? Because, look, he was out. And then he was back. He was on the ground, then he wasn't. He was fast, then he was always kind of fast. He was out front, then he was getting knocked down. And then he was doubling, and then he was getting penalized. But at the end of the day, this guy was the strongest. He's survivalist. And he went from being 21 points down to wrapping it up a race early. I don't even know if that title is a stew, but that's the closest thing as stupendous as I could get. And Chase Sexton, you know where we're going. You are a stupendous stew, and we're going to hit it for you one more time. A championship. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
So, Chase Sexton, you are the ultimate stew of the 450 class. Congratulations again, kid. Congratulations to all the Honda. I can go down the list, and I'll be naming down the list forever, but you guys know who y'all are. Lars, everybody else. Y'all just been dominant. Jet Lawrence, you won the East-West shootout. You smacked your brother. Actually, you actually went in on RJ you know, I pay back from last weekend, but whatever. You wouldn't even really mess with his fools because you like, look, I got bigger fish to fry, and that's next weekend. I'm about to fry Chase's ass up with some hot sauce and some bread, and there you got it. That's a ghetto catfish sandwich. Well, that's what I like to eat. So, Jet Lawrence, you astute. Dominated these guys. I mean, it looked pretty boring to me on there, and it looked pretty boring to you, and it looked expected of you. And what was expected was you to go out there and just do what you had to do, and that was winning. So you won that, but you know where you're going next weekend. That's the tackle, the big fish on there. So Jet Lawrence, you as Stu, shout out to Danger Boy. That boy was looking real dangerous, and then the boy was hot. That weather might have cooled him down, but I'm excited to watch him outside because I'm feeling dangerous. Watch him. So all you guys, everybody that finished it, you're a Stu, Eli Tomac, Stu Mendes, Stu, Cooper Webb, you a Stu, Hunter Lawrence, you a Stu. So shout out to Joe Shimoda, Fire East Coast. I saw you running on dude up in practice, came in there like me and Ricky was like, damn, that was kind of like Bruce Lee. Lord. So, you know, again, last time you was out there, they were getting your ass blasted. They're your friends, right? They're your friends, Joe Shimoda. Excited to see you. So 250 class is going to be dominant. Yeah, we got Justin Cooper coming back, hanging with Mr. Cooper. So I'm excited to see him back finally. And then he was on the Kawhi Leonard program, and he might be smart. The way these guys are dropping like flies, who knows what happened if he would have kept going. But, and we got the French Connection. Oula, Jake, I sense my West Wild, Dylan Ferrandez. He's on that borderline on the point. So that's a reason to come back. If not, just come back because we need you back. AC, man, I was pumped. And you were sharing some tears, but I was sharing some tears. And I got to give a shout out to Justin Hill. You came in there. You're like, move out my way. I know you factory, but I'm here. I'm Justin Hill. I got the style. My brother's hanging back. Don't make us jump you. So Justin Hill, Josh Hill, y'all was riding good. Team Tedder, all y'all cats going. Even the Chiz was running up in third place. I thought he was out there taking out bitches, but he was up there running, balling. So look, all those guys, y'all all Stu. And I'm all excited to see y'all outdoors. So Chase Sexton, Stu Mendes, job, super Stu. All right, people, my next list. Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because like 3 weeks ago, we were like a title fight. And the next thing you know, there's nothing. Pissed off because you paid for that for like, you know, look, that Peacock subscription. And then you're like, damn, that's 10 bucks or whatever it is a month. Depending on what program you get no commercials. Now, of course, you pay for that thing. You're like, I want to watch every single lap. And then the next thing you know, you're like, I cannot stand to watch every single lap because homeboy's laughing up the fifth. Like, pissed off for whatever reason. But I don't think you are because, look, we all motocross fans. We love it. I'll pay 20 bucks if I had to. And don't raise the number of just hypothetically saying that. So, confused, we're going with that list. All right. So, my first person that's confused is the last person that's going to be on this list is Chase Sexton. Why are you confused? Look, I'll tell you why you're confused. Because you're like, damn, I just won these races that easy. And I know these people might saying like, hey, like, yeah, you know what? You might be like, is it asterisk? Nick. That's what you can have over there. Like, are you confused because you're like, damn, what happened? Like, I just stay up and I just go up and I just laugh all these guys to fifth place. Like, that's pretty easy. Or are you confused because you're like, dude, I was just 21 points down and now I wrapped it up a race early and they said, like, I'm the champion, but I'm not the champion. I want to celebrate. Nah, you're not confused. You're confused because you were watching that Honda interview and you were like, damn, why is that dude the future when I'm like sitting here racing and I'm the guy? So this is confusing because look, last time I checked, like I was up on the up and up. Like I know Jet Lawrence, he won them two little championships. Oh, that's so pretty. That was so nice. But I did the same thing. I won my championship. I came in, y'all moved me up and I thought I was the future. I was the future. Maybe I still is, but it's confusing when all I hear is them. But I just won this title. So I know you confused because you're like, look, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Last time I was out here, I was pretty dominant as well. Last time I showed up on the track, I won. And by the check, last time I checked, I was the champion. So ain't no future besides the future is right here. And it's me, Chase Sexton. So I know you confused. And if you haven't watched it, you'll be confused when you watch it. And then that'd be it. And I know I said he was last person on this list, but we were all confused because we were sitting there and we're like, I was so excited to go to Salt Lake, which is a dear space in my heart. For all my people that know me, it is a dear place in my heart. I was confused. We were all confused because we were like, damn, 3 weeks ago, we had a championship fight, and we were talking about how this is the closest championship that's been ever. They brought up the 06 comparisons. Closest, dominant, Chad Reed, James Stewart. That's what this was about. And the next thing you know, in 1 week, now we're talking about something that has nothing to do with it. Why? Because it was confusing. People was dropping and people was going. And I know people, I don't know where this is going. I said people a lot, so I'm going to end it. But this is a confusing as hell segment. And just like this season ended, it was confusing. But one thing's for certain is that we still got a lot of racing to go. And one thing's for certain, when I asked you earlier, did we learn anything? Is Chase Sexton fixed? Is Jet Lawrence the future? I know I hear he's the future. I feel like people are saying Chase is fixed. Maybe Chase believes he's fixed, but is he really fixed, people? Well, there's only one way to find out, and we're going to find that out in 2 weeks here in Paula, where you're going to hear this sexy, sexy voice on there. Maybe it's not so sexy, but we're going to find out real quick, and real quick we will, is Chase Sexton fixed? And that was it from round 17, where we saw Chase Sexton win the 450 title. And yes, I know that wasn't an intro like it should have been, but it was kind of like that. We already expected to have an expect. Now let's move towards the future, where you hear in some camps it is Jet Lawrence is the future, but Chase Sexton says, look, not today and not 2 weeks from now. And until then, I'll see you when I see you in Paula, where we're going to find out, is Chase Sexton fixed or is Jet Lawrence the future? Let's find out together. Until then. Bam! Don't be paying me.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.